This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Aren't you just so glad you have me back?
I'm so glad I have you back.
You chose so poorly.
Hi. Today. Ready?
I'm sorry. Okay.
Today on Red Dead Radio, I'm already regretting asking him back.
He made a big mistake.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast. I'm your host, Jared Petty. And as always, we're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest.
We're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. We're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. Yeah.
And what a wild, wild guest it is.
It's me.
It is John Ryan, the original, the OG.
Not the OSG.
The OSG would be Alana Pierce.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Like the second OSG.
You're the most frequent contributor to Red Dead Radio.
I like that. Contributing chair sitter.
Indeed. Contributing chair sitter. Special guest star, the Stalker Channing of Red Dead Radio.
Special guest star, Stalker Channing. That's
every
me.
Time. That's right. You are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast. And we're here to talk about everybody's favorite grim-faced cowboy game.
Oh, man. Grim Fandango, that part where they wear the cowboy hats?
I forgot about that. No,
I don't think that actually happened.
No, they don't wear cowboy hats. He has stilts.
I never actually played Grim Fandango.
Oh, it's really good. Manny Calavera. But we're not here to talk about Grim Fandango. We're here to talk about Red Dead Redemption. But first, who knows what part of what take you're seeing chopped together at this point. But whoever you are, you need to know that Jonathan, Stuart Ferguson, and Tom Bach, our Patreon producers, make this show possible every week. So thank you so much, guys, for doing that. If you want to be a part of the show, RedDeadRadio.com. Become a Patreon producer. Help me, you know, eat, live, at all, etc. And help the show keep happening.
You got yourself
a .com? I got a .com.
Look at you. Look at this boy getting himself a .com.
I had a .com a long time.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know about the .com
era? That's why. Because I'm a .org man. Maybe a .edu.
What about a .net?
Little hipstery for me.
You know what? I like a .net. For example, usgamer.net. Because Red Dead Radio is produced in partnership with usgamer. usgamer.net. Check out all their excellent coverage of Red Dead Redemption 2 and more at, once again, usgamer.net. This week, I recommend checking out Jake Green's write-up of the Red Dead beta online at all, etc. and what to expect from it. And of course, you can follow him on all them social media channels at US GamerNet. Also, today we have a sponsor. We are sponsored by Neebs Gaming, but more on that later. Before we get to today's agenda, coming soon, the Red Dead Redemption spoiler cast, plus coverage of the oncoming beta and the final review. But to run the show today, well, we got a little bit of news for you, followed by the topic of the show, the Red Dead Redemption 2 review in progress, part 2, with special guest John Ryan.
No, I'm Stalker Channing.
Stalker Channing. Then your letters. That's right. Got some letters from y'all to read. And then finally, the Red Dead Redemption 2 drinking game continues.
Oh, no. What have you done?
Yes, let's get right to it. John Ryan, I have missed you. How you been?
I've missed you, buddy. I have been busy being a boy riding cows.
You have ridden some cows.
Horses, but I've been good. I've been really digging this here Red Dead Redemption video game. I've been playing a shitload of it.
You are the resident Red expert.
I am, yes. Yeah. That's accurate. That's very true. I've been playing a bunch of fucking Red Dead, and it's been fucking great.
Yeah.
It's
so, really good. Are you done? Are you finished?
Well, I'll never be finished.
Okay. Have you reached the conclusion and epilogue of the story?
I have reached the conclusion, the epilogue, and the epilogue's epilogue.
Excellent.
I'm still working on that 100%.
Okay, so you're not quite at 100% completion.
Yeah, and even then you won't actually be done, because as we learned with this one and with GTA 5 before, even though you hit 100% on the checklist, you don't actually hit 100%.
Yeah, there's more things to do.
Yeah, there's so much to do in this
game. I've got 19 more dream catchers to find. That's
all
right.
Well, I can tell you where to find all those.
All the dream catchers? What about those dinosaur bones?
I can tell you where to find those, too.
Oh, wow, that's exciting.
I can tell you where to find those. Rock carvings, cigarette cards, weird little Easter eggs, a bunch of crazy mysterious shacks.
Exactly. Maybe some weird spectral locomotives, things like
that. I could show you where to find a ghost train.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah. I like that you call it spectral locomotive.
No, it's like spectral. I wouldn't want to, you know, lead people down the wrong trail. The spectral locomotive is more fun than ghost train.
It's true. It's and you know, it doesn't necessarily have ghosts on it.
Uh-huh.
So like, I don't know if we can technically say it's a ghost train.
What if there were ghosts on it? I don't know if the train's a ghost. It's probably still a ghost.
So that's my question. Is it a ghost who decided to just be a train? Or is it a train that somehow gained sentience and a soul and then died?
Well, it's like Thomas
stuck in some hellish... Right, is that is
Thomas
that
the Train
happened,
Engine. Though? Yeah, it's like, yeah, we have to wall up the one train forever and ever.
No!
Yeah, exactly.
He was a very naughty train.
He was, and he got locked in
a
cupboard.
I like the idea, and this is official Red Dead 2 canon now.
Okay.
That... the Red Dead universe and the Thomas the Tank Engine universe are one and the same.
Yeah, I like that. We have bound them together. Yep. I just like the idea of like the little eyes of like Thomas the Train Engine just being like the Amontillado. Like it's the last like bricks are put in. Just a little, for the love of God, yeah. Monsieur.
So anyways, I've been very good. I've been very busy. Yeah. Me and the entire IGN Wikis team, we have been working tirelessly to put together the best
possible
guide for Red Dead 2.
Tirelessly? You're exhausted. What are you talking about? You are not tireless.
Fair. Well, I feel like tireless is a bad word because it absolutely is the antithesis of what it means to say.
Yeah.
But bad linguistic decisions way in the past aside, we've all been working our asses off, and hopefully if you're looking for game help on Red Dead 2, you can come to our site, and if you're liking what you see, awesome, let us know. If you're not liking what you see, or if you need more help with something, also let us know. We've got these great little feedback forms that you can sign and just tell us if there's stuff that we're missing or if there's something that you found that maybe we haven't. So that's been my life for the last couple
weeks. Let's look at the team, your stamina bars right now. Okay, because everybody's working real hard.
Yeah.
But whose stamina is most... You take you and Brendan and Miranda and Casey.
Yeah.
Whose stamina bar is, you think, at the lowest
like
right now?
Like depleted?
Yeah. Who's like... Who has just... Their core
is
gone.
I think we've all got at least a third to a half of a full bar.
Wow.
And our core is almost full.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How'd you do that?
We just are really good at what we do.
A lot of cocaine gum. Okay, there we
a
go.
A lot of open
there
cocaine
we are.
Gum.
Okay.
My office is littered with cocaine gum.
And that's how you're making it happen. Hey, for we got sure. a little bit of news here. First, some not really news. Red Dead Redemption 2 online beta coming in November, but we kind of knew that already.
That was all. That, I mean, so I think it's more so that the news is that it's not getting delayed.
Yeah, okay.
Like, really, we knew that the beta for Red Dead Online was supposed to start in November anyways. But now that Rockstar is like officially confirmed that it will in fact be in November, I think some folks were a little bit concerned that after the sort of rocky launch that GTA Online had, that they'd wait to make sure that everything was fine and dandy before they finally pushed it out.
Yeah.
So we might have seen it wait until December or even January of 2019. But I think that the news today is really just them being like, no, it's ready. It's good to go. We're going to jump into beta at some point before the end of November.
I was not worried about that at
no.
all. I figured that they learned so much from that last Rocky launch that they weren't going to release the single-player game until they were ready to release the multiplayer game
pretty
a couple
much.
Of weeks
like
later.
If that had been... If history repeated itself in that way, I would have been very surprised.
Yeah. And so...
And I mean, I could be, technically. Like, I don't know the future, but, like, I'm willing to bet... At least some money. I don't have a whole lot, but like at least some of it.
Speaking of history repeating itself.
Uh-oh.
So I sometimes co-host on Kinda Funny Games Daily.
No way.
I know, with those fine Kinda Funny folks over there. And today, the day we're recording this anyway, we were covering the story. I believe it was GameIndustry.biz reporting that 17 million units of GTA, or probably, how was it, Red Dead 2? Have apparently already shipped at
that's
this point.
That's a lot of units.
Yeah, 17 million.
That is an absolute unit of
units. That is a ridiculous... So I know there was all kinds of discussion before the game came out about how well it would eventually do. And everybody had different predictions about it because it's a very different game.
Yeah, but I'm also not surprised by this at all.
Me neither.
You know, I mean, I think it's funny that looking at it now, Rockstar can say, yeah, well, there's only one entertainment property that's beaten us on Red Dead to be a bigger opening weekend. And oh, wait, it's us.
Yeah. And awfully close on when you look at the stats.
You made the point before we started recording that like GTA had a, quote, longer opening weekend because that was a Tuesday through a Sunday.
Yeah, they got a head start on it. And so it's a huge – this is just spectacular. And
yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
It looks like their forecasts are going to reflect that there are probably some expectations they can even raise on that. But you look at that amount of sales in this short a period of time. My prediction, I think it was on Kind of Funny, was that they'd eventually move a minimum of 50 million on this across all generations. I think we're probably going to see that.
Look, fucking GTA 5 was still one of the best selling games in the UK over the summer.
Yeah,
and it's 2018.
Right. Well, why not play it? I mean, it's so good. And why? And you know, there's going to be a PS5, Xbox Next version of this thing.
Course.
And,
you know,
and
then, I mean, look, I can't say this with any degree of certainty. This is nothing but wild speculation. But like, I would not be surprised if we saw something similar to what we saw with GTA 5 going from the 360 to the, you know, Xbox One, PS3 to PS4, and then also jumping to PC, because it seems like it's almost definite that we'll see a PC port someday.
Well, I mean, not a lot of reason not to do it this time. When they were building around the unique architecture of the 360 and particularly the PlayStation 3, porting was kind of a pain.
It was wonky,
and now it's not. And I think that's going to make things easier for them. I mean, GTA 5, I suspect, was not a trivial port to PC.
No, I mean, there's a reason that it took almost 2 years.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they could also sell that effectively that same version, since the PS4 and the Xbox One are effectively PCs anyway, they could sell it across three platforms. Yeah. The 360 and especially the PS3 were not built on that architecture.
Yeah, so I would like to think that if it does come to PC, that it will not be as long a wait, solely for the friends that I have who still only play on PCs and have not jumped into the console pool yet.
Yeah.
But also because I'm just really excited to see what kind of mods people can whip up.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Because that just makes me really happy.
Oh, yeah. And I do love...
Like, I do want to see that Thomas the Tank Engine mod.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
It'll be horrifying, but I'm super into it.
And wonderful.
Oh, mostly wonderful, but just mostly horrifying. Wonderful. Mostly horrifying.
What if it could, like, read your player profile name so that it's, like, drawn rotten.
No,
like when it comes
you.
By,
no,
it'd be kind of beautiful.
So here's my question for you in regards to Red Dead Online, because I do want to ask you this question. What do you think that, because of how interaction works in the single player, and it's such a core component of that experience, do you think we'll have voiced characters in Red Dead Online?
Yeah, I think we will. And I think it'll go beyond cell phone type stuff. And that's a great
question.
Oh,
I don't mean secondary. I mean our playable characters.
Oh, our playable characters? Voices? Jeez. No.
No?
No. It's a tremendous pain in the butt.
Of course it is.
And I think when you're sitting there going, I could be building that feature in, or I could be building in another activity, another...
So you feel like all of the interaction that we're going to have is basically going to be weighted on other players as opposed to the practical NPCs?
I think so, because otherwise, can you imagine the different number of voices you would have to capture and cadence?
Yeah,
like
of course.
All our faces look different and I have to get the right cadence out of the right mouth, you'd have some pretty ghastly
stuff happening. Even Arthur... Just having one character that you play as do it and have it be that effective and that well put together is tremendously difficult, I can only imagine. And, I mean, the result is fantastic. But at the same time, like, having to do that with, you know, say, six voice actors, you know, for three men, three women, that would be insane.
I could see if anybody's going to do it, they would. It's not where, if I were a developer, I would choose to put my resources for a project like this.
Yeah.
Would you? What do you think?
I would love it.
Yeah.
There is nothing I love more in a character creation system than being able to choose what this person sounds like.
Okay.
Because I love mixing and matching. Like, I love making, like, a giant, burly, like, Amazon.
Yeah.
And then having them sound like Danny DeVito.
Okay,
it just makes me happy.
Well, I mean, yeah. Now, if they want to sell me DLC, if they want to sell me something with shark cards... If I can sound like, if they hire Sam Elliott,
Yeah.
And I can just sound like Sam Elliott all the time.
If I can basically play the Old West doctor girlfriend from the Venture Bros.
Okay, that's amazing.
That's the goal for me.
That's beautiful. Yeah. What'd you name your horse?
Alpo.
So much. You're on Alpo 2. Right, and there's Alpo
and
3.
I finished the game with Alpo 3.
Alpo 3. Okay.
Alpo 3 lived. Alpo 2 died a sad death.
How did Alpo 2 die?
Alpo 2. Sweet Alpo 2. I was robbing a train.
Okay.
And as I was robbing said train, the cops show up because that's what the cops do when you rob a train.
Yeah.
And so not being able to get to the back of the train where Alpo 2 was hanging out, I ran to the front of the train and I threw it into full gear, figuring I would get the train to the end of a bridge and then I would get off the bridge and run away that way.
Okay.
As I'm looking behind me, the first thing that I see happen as the train gets up to speed and starts to round a corner is Alpo 2 coming along the inside track of the train and turning, like craning his head just a little bit and slamming it into the side of the train as it moved, breaking his neck.
Oh, dear.
So Alpo 2 got himself run over by my train that I was driving.
Ooh.
So it was one of those really sad moments where it was entirely my fault because I put him in that situation. I called him to make him follow the train. I was driving the train. It was all my
no fault. Way to get back there and resurrect Alpo 2 when the train is speeding away.
Oh, and well, I mean, if you've seen what happens when things get hit by trains in this game,
it's just over.
You can't save them.
It's just
Alpo 1 was the one that really hurt the most.
Oh, though. More than that?
Alpo 1 was like the kind of quintessential horse death story, I feel.
Okay.
I don't know if you've done it yet. There's a mission that you do up towards the strawberry area that you're. It's a robbery that goes really, really,
I've
really
done this.
Bad.
Yes.
Ends in this creek with a bunch of dead bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
So I finish the mission. You know, my compatriots ride their way, and I'm standing there in the middle of this river with Alpo 1 sitting just hanging out. This stagecoach loosely on fire, and a bunch of dead guys hanging out in the river, who I immediately start looting because I need some money and
pills
and some miracle tonics. And of course, somebody sees me.
Yeah.
And they immediately are like, you can't do that. And they start riding down the trail the other way. And of course, so I hop on Alpo and I chase after him. Like, you come back here. I'm going to kill you. You stop going to them. They're police.
And it's a good Arthur.
Thank you. And he stops, turns around, whips out a shotgun and says, leave me alone. I don't want to do this. This isn't going to be a thing. Like, I'm not going to. And so I threaten him and he just pulls the trigger immediately and not a bullet fucking touches me.
But
they
Alpo.
All go into Alpo's face.
Oh.
And he is not coming back. Like,
no.
It was legitimately, I didn't know what happened at first because, like, he pulled the trigger and I was like, I'm alive. And then my horse fell over and I was like, oh, no.
That man died slowly. Did he? Did he die?
He did not die well.
Did he die?
No, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
No. Oh, no, 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 no. No. Okay. He did not die well.
All right. Cat Bailey, who's been one of the guests on the show, told the ballad of Knifey.
Who's Knifey?
Knifey must be fed. Knifey is Cat's friend.
And good. That's very
knife
good.
Knife goes in, knife goes out. Knife goes in, knife goes
fair.
Out. And Knifey
See,
must be fed.
My friend like that is
Axie. Yeah, Axie. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Homing tomahawk?
No, Viking Axie.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Have you found the Viking Axe? You can go to IGN.com and find out where to find it.
Beautiful. No, I haven't
product placement.
That. Excellent. Speaking of product placement, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Look at this guy go.
Through the magic of nonlinear editing, I've changed clothes. Things change. That's right. But one thing that does not change is that Neebs Gaming is funny. What's Neebs Gaming, you may ask? Neebs Gaming is a YouTube channel where a bunch of really talented people get together and make high quality, carefully edited, and absolutely hilarious machinima, largely out of Grand Theft Auto 5. But now, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to the rise of Red Dead Redemption 2, the show that inspired this very program, you can watch Neebs Gaming new series, Bad Arthur. Bad Arthur, the adventures of Arthur Morgan with funny voices, strange things happening. All of it begins November 11th. That's right, November 11th on youtube.com/Neebs Gaming. That's NEEBSGAMING. youtube.com/Neebs Gaming. Gaming. I've been a fan of Neebs Gaming for a long time. They make me laugh. I hope that they'll make you laugh too. So check out Bad Arthur on Neebs Gaming starting November 11th. I hope that you enjoy it. Write us and let us know if you did. Thank you so much for supporting.
I fucking killed that guy so good.
How'd you kill him?
Oh, I immediately like got up, chased him down, lassoed him, tied him off, killed his horse.
Okay. Oh, you killed his horse. Wow.
I killed his horse, made him watch, lit the horse on fire, dragged him into the woods. Oh, it got dark.
It got dark.
Like, I took him to camp with me, like, put up a camp, like, he stayed there for a while. He got away. Have you noticed this thing? Here's a fun part. If folks are on the ground tied up long enough, they can get out of the bonds.
Yeah.
He tried. He failed.
No, he did not.
So anyways, I shot him as many times as I could without actually killing him. So his legs didn't work super good. And then I took him into the middle of a field around a little after sunset and just waited for wolves to come because I threw out some good predator bait.
Oh, so you fed him to wolves.
I fed him to wolves, yeah. And they did not eat him quickly.
That is the most... I haven't fed anyone to an animal. It hadn't even occurred to me.
What? I mean, this might sound super sociopathic of me, but how could you not?
I don't know. It just hadn't occurred to me I could feed people to wolves. Oh, emergent gameplay options. Yeah. How I love you. That's totally going in the episode. That's a great story.
That's
A-okay.
Yeah. So that's what happened to that man.
Like that.
He
well,
got what he deserved. For
don't mess with this man's horse. So Alpo 3 you're on now.
Alpo 3 is the horse I finished the game with. Yeah. Okay. He's very sweet. He's a beautiful gray thoroughbred.
I'm cursing myself here. I've played more than I know how to count at this point. Certainly not as much as you because I know how much you've been playing.
Wait, you've played more horses?
No, I played more games. I still haven't lost a horse. Both Zach Ryan and Glue continue to ride with me. I still haven't lost either of them.
Wait, one of your horses is named Zach Ryan?
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah, Zach Ryan. Zach Ryan is my, like, not my Tennessee Walker, but he's my starter horse. Like, he's the first horse I bought was Zach Ryan.
Did you keep the giant black Shire horse?
The one they give you at the beginning?
The one that Hosea tells you to trade.
No, I traded it.
That was Alpo 1.
That was Alpo? You just kept him? Alpo 1, okay, yeah. I wondered about that.
He was big and muscly and strong.
Ooh, I like Alpo 1.
He was a big, strong boy.
Now, Zach Ryan's he's the racing horse you can purchase in that first stable.
Oh, okay.
Race handling horse.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I bought myself a beautiful black Arabian that I named Glue. And
I'm glad. Glue is my backup horse.
You have Glue?
Oh. Alpo and Glue. Come on, man.
I love you so much.
For those of you unaware, Alpo is a brand of dog food.
Oh, I think people probably...
Do they?
Well,
here's the thing. Once people realized Alpo was fucking horse meat, they don't really exist anymore.
That's a good point. All right. So
Alpo was a thing in the 80s and 90s, kids.
You know what? If you're not a pet lover, get off my plane. That's right. Okay, so.
What if I have snakes on your plane?
Oh, if you have snakes on my plane, you can stay on.
Perfect.
That's all right.
I'm going to bring kisses on your plane. Wait, when did you get a plane?
Baby, it's a kiss on a rose on a plane. No, wait. That's not how it works.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
It's okay. Anyways.
Yeah. My wife taught me this the other day. You know what this is? Oh, I just hit the mic.
No, I don't.
You do it like this.
What is that?
I love you. The little hearts.
I don't see it.
My fingers, the little hearts.
Oh, that's cute.
The little hearts.
Is that right ASL there. Or?
Huh?
Is that ASL or?
Apparently it's Chinese.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Great. I'm into it. The more you know.
Indeed. Back to the topic of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
We're bad at that.
Red Dead Redemption 2. The review in progress. So, all right, the first Red Dead Redemption review in progress segment was me doing kind of classical gameplay footage over narration.
Ooh, and look then at I you talked go. About,
yeah, doing my thing here. And I'm like, hey, I'm kind of along with the game. Here's what I'd rate it right now if I'm playing it. Then I had a review discussion with Greg Miller, who offered kind of an alternative take to my extraordinary enthusiasm, where he was like, this didn't resonate with me so much.
This seems to be a pretty upsy-downsy game for folks.
But... Now you're here.
Now I'm here.
For the review in progress, part two, John Ryan, I want to know what you thought of Red Dead Redemption, and I'm going to chime in a little bit about what I thought as well. So let's go back and forth here a little.
Okay.
We're going to start at the beginning. I have the Jared scale.
Okay.
Rating. Do you remember the Mitch Dyer scale from IGN?
No.
Mitch Dyer scale was garbage, not garbage.
Okay.
Mitch believed that all games should be rated either garbage
or not
garbage.
Trash or not trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. Well, this is firmly not trash.
Okay, so my scale, bad, meh, good, great.
Okay.
Bad is an aggressively bad game.
Yeah.
Meh is a game that's like, why bother? There are better games out there.
It exists. There was an attempt.
Good is a game I'd recommend to people.
Yep.
Great is a standout game.
Yeah.
Where does Red Dead Redemption 2 fall on the scale for you?
On the Jared Petty scale, it's great.
Okay.
Like, it is. It definitely has its issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of those issues were amplified for me because of how I had to play through the game.
Ah, expound.
It's been several weeks now since we've started playing this game.
Yeah.
And you've yet to finish it. I rolled credits a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, I mean, this is an incredibly long game.
Yeah.
And this is one of those games where, like, if I was playing it on my own, I honestly kind of just want to suffer some head trauma so I can get some good amnesia and just start again and start fresh.
I mean, I could hit you with the teleprompter. We got it over there.
Maybe later.
Okay.
I wish that I could do it again because it would legitimately take me probably a month to 2 months to play through this game.
Mm-hmm. That's how I've been playing it.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I feel like that's how this game is meant to be played because it is very clearly yes, Rockstar tells one of, if not their best stories yet. I really do like what they've done with the characters, and I really love sort of how much they're investing with them this time around. And that was true of the original Red Dead Redemption as well. And we saw a little bit of it in GTA 5, but this is them treating their characters as like fully fleshed out, very complex people, all of them, not just you, not just Dutch, not mm-hmm. just John, as genuinely interesting people.
Yeah.
And they're interesting people who you want to like get to know throughout the course of the game, throughout the, like, the long journey that you all go on together.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I find for me is that, yes, it's a game about their story and about those people, but the star of this game for me is the world itself.
Mm.
This is, to me, Red Dead Redemption 2 is not a game about the story of Arthur Morgan, even though that is definitely a very large aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's your story in the world that you inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it does that better than any Rockstar game yet,
mm-hmm.
Because it introduces, not necessarily introduces, we've had choice in a Rockstar game, but never on this level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where my biggest, like, that's where I praise it the most.
Okay.
That's what I think is the best aspect of it, is that I finished the game a week and a half ago. I'm starting a second playthrough now because I want to see. I never, ever want to play through games again, because I do it, I know exactly where the missions go, I know what the blah, 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 blah. I just don't want to do it ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this, for the first time, is not the first time ever, but like, it's a very rare occasion where I say, I'm going to start this game again,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to do everything exactly the opposite of how I did it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing that this time, and it's great. And I'm not finding like huge branching differences like I would if I, you know, played Skyrim totally differently or
right.
something. But I'm finding that it's a very different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I in my first playthrough, when I got bounties, they were for accidents or because someone misunderstood self-defense. And I think that those are issues that it runs into sometimes where, yeah, I think we've all been in the situation where you're riding your horse through Saint-Denis or through Valentine, and like, you're going a little bit too fast and you bump into somebody and they get hit a little too hard and they fall down, and then you've committed assault.
Yeah.
And there's no way really to defuse that. I mean, you can say like, hey, I'm sorry, but you still get a bounty for it.
You hope for a move along.
Right. But you still get a bounty for it. Your bounty is still like $10 to $15. You still have to pay that off at the post office. Like, it's still a thing. Now I'm 3 or 4 missions into playthrough number 2, my bounty is $250, yeah. and I can't afford to pay it.
Yeah, because you're early in the game and don't have any cash yet.
Right, but I've also just robbed a train and like murdered a whole bunch of cops. So
yeah.
What am I going to do? I have to live as a wanted man now.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that this game does really, really well that I love about it, is that it makes me think about my place in the world more than any other Rockstar game has. In the sense of, you know, not only actions as consequences, because they do, and like, but not mechanically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's about my character's reputation just as much as it is how much of a pain in the ass is this going to be for me, JR, to deal with as a person playing a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a rarity that I think about games like that.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, you mentioned that you've very rarely gone back and replayed single-player games.
Unless I've had to.
Can you think of a game that you've chosen to replay? I'd love to know. Mass Effect. Why was that?
For the same reason.
Okay.
It's, you know, I had the thought a while back where I don't know what they're going to do for their next game that's going to come out, but mm-hmm. like, I really want to see Rockstar try and do a proper like full RPG.
Yeah.
I know it would take a decade and a half and be completely insane on mm-hmm. their end, develop from a development standpoint, but I think it would be fucking crazy.
Yeah. No, I've heard people complaining, and there's many arguments to be made around this, about the combat in Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that struck me that I did not expect was how relatively little combat has to do with what's going on in Red Dead 2. There's a lot of fighting yeah. in the game, but this has more in common in many ways with an RPG
yep.
or an adventure game,
yeah.
or in some ways even a walking sim. Fair. Plus an open world game. I don't think there's been this kind of game before, or not many of them.
I think, it definitely is a rarity.
Yeah.
It is, I think that Rockstar always tries to set out to do something special when they make a game.
I think they nailed it.
And I think almost every time they've succeeded, like in some way they've made something wholly unique, whether it's, the old generation of GTAs, or whether it's Bully or the Warriors. Even fucking Manhunt mm-hmm. was weird and not super well received, but it was very, very, very unique.
Yeah, actually, our topic... I interrupted you. Go ahead. Our topic on the last episode, Andrea Renee was here. I loved the discussion I had with her. Andrea is one of my favorite people to discuss/argue with.
Hell yes.
And we had a really, really good time with that. I really enjoyed her visit. But one of the things we did was ask the question, is this Rockstar's best game?
Yes.
And okay, there you go. Wow, you got a quick answer for
yes,
that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Like, look, I think that it... like, solely on an empiric level, mm-hmm. yes, it is. It is, while, again, it does have its faults. And, like, I'm sure. not washing over those by any means. Like, I have some real issues with how the story paces, especially in the last act, last couple of acts. But, again, I think that those were magnified for me because of how I kind of had to play through
it. You had to barrel through it, right.
But that doesn't change the fact that those issues are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I take umbrage with the fact that sometimes I shouldn't have the cops called on me because I bumped into someone or someone bumped into me.
Mm-hmm.
I
have run into, man, I'm thinking about a dude that just galloped into the side of me and caused me no end of trouble not too long
ago. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, just at a crossroads, just galloped into the side of my horse, almost killed my horse, threw me through the air. That was a bad day.
Look, let's just agree on this. Crashing your horse is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
It is unequivocally hilarious.
It can be amazing. I've been hurled through the air and landed perfectly in the back of a wagon, like yep. two wagons up. And like, yep. and the guy in the front's like, hey there, mister. Like, it was beautiful.
Hi, mister.
Yeah, just like land in the back of his wagon just on top. It was lovely.
But no, I do think that this is their best game. Right off the bat, from a technical perspective, how could you not say so? Like, I mean, it's funny because like I just look at it and I look at other games that I've seen come out in the last couple of years mm-hmm. and I'm just like, okay, that looks fine, but also it looks like trash now.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are games that are fucking gorgeous that look stellar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that looks fine, but it doesn't look like this.
Yeah.
Which, so it on a technical level, it's their most impressive work yet.
Yeah.
Whether it was worth it on their end, from A to B, from development starting to ending.
Like the eight-year time period?
Yeah, and the eight-year time period and all the stuff that they've had to endure through those years. Like, I really do hope that it was worth it for them and the people working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is such an impressive feat.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Story-wise, I think it's their best, one of, if not their best scripts.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arthur is my favorite protagonist of theirs. I'm trying to think of someone who I like better that I've played as in a Rockstar game, and I can't.
I think it's the best writing I've seen them do. And again, yeah. we're using the word best a lot, and that's hard. Qualifying writing is difficult. But
well, it is, but also like when comparing it to one specific game studio, mm-hmm. it's not difficult. Like I can't say that, in the pantheon of games, Rockstar is the best writer, mm-hmm. or,
Oh, that's okay.
Stupid brain doing no. brain things.
Brain
Sorry.
Do good. That's okay.
Brain do bad good sometimes. I can't say that Rockstar is the best writer, and but because there's just too many fucking people and too many styles and too mm-hmm. many different ways that you can interpret the writing of a video game.
Yeah.
But when we look at Rockstar versus themselves,
yeah,
of course you can say that. like.
Well, let's we did that with kind of last week. Let's step back out into that critical sphere. We're gonna have a whole episode about this eventually, but is this a game of the year contender for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely this has been a great year for games.
Yeah.
I still have a lot to do. And honestly, I also have a lot to still play through because of my nature of my work on IGN's Wikis department.
Yeah.
I have to play like a few select games a shitload.
Right.
And that means that I miss some of the stuff that could otherwise be contending for Game of the Year, like a lot of the smaller games or the indie games.
Yeah.
Or even just some games that I just don't happen to get assigned to cover.
Yeah.
So
can I kidnap you, throw you in a room, and make you play like Minute and Florence for like it'll only take like 3 hours?
Yes, you've played Celeste.
And of course Celeste.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Great.
Oh.
I played like a hot second of it, and I have to go back to it.
Oh
my! I know. Gosh, I know.
What a year! But yeah, that's another.
But like, what a fucking year for games. But yes, this is absolutely a Game of the Year contender for me. And. You know, I mean, like...
Critically, what's its greatest strength?
Its greatest strength is that sense of freedom that you have.
Okay.
You know, I know some folks are saying that its pacing is too slow. Or that it, like, doesn't meet the action expectations that they may have had. Mm-hmm. Because the gunplay is rather deliberate or sort of, like, there it's more... complex than you might have expected.
It's very RPG-ish. Again, it's area selection, it's item use, it's
But it's also it's still an action third-person shooter.
It is, but it's one where you're constantly reinforcing and buffering stats like Deadeye or Stamina.
The most complaints that I've heard have been regarding things, you know, like you only basically that it's the same shooting mechanics from GTA but with more steps.
Mm-hmm.
The one that initially I kind of was coming up against was manually cocking my weapons,
mm-hmm.
Which now that I actually have the rhythm of it, I fucking love.
Me too.
So, like sometimes I get panicked and it's a pain in the ass,
sure.
But like that also feeds into the realism.
It kind of feels right when that happens.
Where it's, you know, if I get ambushed by a bear or like three or four dudes and I'm just like, oh shit with a repeater and I forget to go, then I'm like, why aren't you, oh wait, shit. And so it's great. I think that its greatest strength is that it does let you just sort of live in that world.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of there's that sort of thing where like they're forcing you to be bad.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of the story stuff, yes, you do come up against morally dubious situations that you do have to go through.
Sure.
But that's, again, like the story of the game, while it's interesting and I like the characters, that's not the big draw of this for mm-hmm. me. You know, for me, this really is what I make of the world and how the world, you know, interprets me.
Oh, expound.
These are ways in which I think Rockstar has really outdone themselves because mm-hmm. of their investment in what does my impact in the world actually mean.
Ah.
When I get in a gunfight in Valentine and I kill the sheriff and I go back and it's a different sheriff, I feel really fucking bad about that.
Hey, wait a minute. That's a...
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if I... Again, I'll keep using Valentine because I've been doing a lot of content based around there for IGN because it's a nice, safe, spoiler-free-ish zone.
Right. Not riding back in the roads and seeing Sheriff Gray.
Right. I'll roll through into the general store and have the guy be like, "You caused too much trouble when you were here last time. Don't you be doing any of that shit again."
Yeah,
it's like that's great.
It's fun.
You know, again, like for a Rockstar game, which typically just is a game where I throw bullets at things till my problems go away.
Yeah, yeah.
For me to actively think about what my choices mean,
that's awesome.
And like what. How this is going to affect the little man that I am, instead of just like, all right, how much is this going to be a pain in the ass mm-hmm. for me to deal with, is really special, I think.
I think that's really special. I do think that they did about 100 subtle things that they promised they would do to strip away layers of separation between you and the world.
Yeah.
I feel very good about that. There are places they were less successful in that mm-hmm. than I think that they could have been. In particular, you know, this is an old complaint, but obviously while I've learned to master it, I think that the menu and inventory management can sometimes take you out of it a little bit.
I feel like that in any video game.
I feel like that too, in almost any game. And I think they worked hard with the loadouts to make that work better. Mm-hmm. Conversely, however, I think the sum of what is gained from how they succeeded in some places beyond my wildest expectations.
How so?
I am more hours into this game than I can count. And I still converse, explore, find out what's going on with people that I theoretically have no reason to do, and continue to be surprised by what I encounter when that takes place.
Yeah.
I still talk to people in towns I've been to 15 times.
Yep. I talk still to the same people in those towns.
Yes, because different things often happen, or I want to see what's going on with them.
Yeah, I think if there's one sort of... I'm losing my thought on the word. If there's one thing that is sort of embodies why I like Red Dead 2 so much, it is that even now, after I have sunk probably 120 hours into this game, have completed the story and a bunch of the side stuff, there is still a guy on the side of the road that I've never seen before. He's not a scripted event guy. He's not one of the blips on your radars as like a chance encounter or a random event. He's just some fucking guy riding his horse who I will talk to and I will say hello to, or I will antagonize and I will enjoy that encounter, or I will feel bad about how it goes.
Yeah, me too. That's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do at all. And most open world games that sort of foster sociopathic behavior do a lot of work to avoid having that be the case.
Yeah.
And this doesn't. This like really leans into the fact of like, if you choose to fuck with these people, if you choose to make their lives actively worse to your own benefit or just because, you should feel that. You should have to acknowledge that. And I think that they do a really good job of that.
Yeah, you should not be able to tell such a good, dynamic, and scripted story in an open world game as effectively as is done here. It shouldn't be possible. It would require the kind of monumental amount of work that's
that an
international studio would have
for almost a decade. Right.
I mean, it's that kind of human resource effort to build something like this. We keep talking about the beauty, and yes, the beauty is it's the prettiest video game I've ever played. It is extraordinary. So, but ultimately for me, it's that I have a game here that has two kinds of stories going on: the story of Arthur Morgan and the story of Arthur Morgan in the world, and they are both great. What do you have here? You got me a battery?
I'm sorry, I completely just interrupted.
No, it's the story of Arthur Morgan and the story of Arthur Morgan in the world, a story of scripting and incredible, interesting characters that, you know, I one of the moments that jumps out at me. We remain spoiler free most of the time. This is your short spoiler warning.
Don't read anymore if you don't want spoilers.
Jump ahead.
After what chapter
jump ahead
in.
For 2 minutes if you don't want any spoilers. All right, so
spoilers.
We're going to put an on-screen alert here to 2 minutes starting. Skip ahead 2 minutes starting now. All right, so Hosea goes down at the end of chapter 4.
Oh, that old man.
Yeah, right through the chest. Big cutscene. Kind of see it coming.
Yeah.
Lot.
I mean, yeah,
you care.
Yes,
you care.
I've cared very, very much. I have thoughts on that from a story perspective, but we'll talk about that later.
But then, outside of the cutscene, you're in gameplay, and you just come around a corner, and bam, Lenny's dead. And that's it. And there's no cutscene.
There's
no zoom in. There's no drama. He's just, you're fighting, and he's just dead.
And then he's gone.
And then you linger by the body in the game.
I think that one realistically hurt me more than anybody else getting killed in the entire game.
Yeah.
Because I had invested so much in Lenny, like not only in the couple of missions that you hang out together, but also like there was no one I spent more time with at camp.
Me
than
neither.
Lenny. I loved Lenny. And I mean that, like he was the Lenny to my Carl.
Yeah.
Or I guess strike that, reverse it, but.
But I get the idea. And so Lenny's dead, and then you have this setup. And that kind of storytelling to be like, we have scripted a moment and we have still surprised you. We punched you, but then we punched you twice as hard, and because we hit you the first time, you didn't see it coming then.
There's a point in chapter 6 where you get some news. It's really bad. about someone in your gang. There's and but then things keep going for a long, long time with that person.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's meant to be this really slow, drawn out, emotional, slow punch.
Yeah.
But I also it doesn't super work for me because it goes on for so long.
You feel
long.
Like it goes on too long.
I feel like it goes on way too long.
Okay.
And not just because of the fact that it happens for so long, but because of everyone's attitudes towards it. But that we've got 5 seconds left. So,
we're going to stop.
So anyways, there we go. We did it.
Spoilers over. Thank you. All right. So we're coming back. Welcome back,
everybody.
And we
gave you an extra 0.1 seconds.
Oh, look at that. All right. We're pretty proud of ourselves for getting it right. Thank you, John.
Of course. Thank you.
But yeah, you have things like that happening. I think it's great storytelling. I think they do all kinds of clever things like that in a character-driven story. It's a Western.
Yeah.
It's still fairly simple. Although, who knew it would get so I mean, it's an adventure, but man, is it, it's a more of an odyssey than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that was surprising to me. I thought it was an interesting choice.
I like it.
Not a necessary choice, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a fun diversion.
It was shades, for me, it was, well, one, you're going to laugh at this. I'm not trying to be like, Mr. I knew this was going to happen, because I totally didn't. But I'm a student of history around that period of time.
Right.
When I was thinking about things they could lean into,
mm-hmm.
I thought about that for about a minute, long before the game came
out. Of course.
And I thought, no, that's the wrong part of the world, because I was expecting everything to happen out in the Deep West, like
right.
the first game does, like Red Dead 1 does, where everything kind of feels like it's happening in Texas and Arizona.
Yeah.
And so the choices they made there really surprised me, but it is something I thought they could. It's the right period of time to lean into that.
And guess what?
And and I was like, they're not going. But I was like, no way they will. And then they did. I thought that was really fascinating.
I thought it was neat. I thought it was again not a necessary choice, but it made for some interesting moments.
Yeah, I felt like it made things. I like when games surprise me.
Yeah,
and it surprised the heck out of me. So I was good with that.
Good.
You less so.
Me less so, I think. I feel like, though, that's less an issue of that particular moment, that particular series of events, as it is for, I'm trying to figure out ways to say this without
being
too spoiled. No, it's okay. I can do it, damn it. As it is to the larger issues that I had with the story from that point forward,
mm-hmm.
And some of them trailing backwards.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that when we do a full and proper discussion of the entire game once you fucking finish it.
I'm not sure. I'm going to get there by the end of the weekend.
January.
Nah, I'll be done by the end of the weekend.
End of the weekend? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? You know you're going to get distracted by a man covered in wolves.
Nope, not going to happen. Got to press through. Okay. Got to get to that ending. Right. The people expect it. They demand it.
I'm going to bet you money that you don't finish the game this weekend.
How much money?
Just $1.
Okay, I have $1.
Cool.
All right, I have $1. I'm gonna take it out of your lift from the ride home today.
No.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, John Ryan says bad, meh, good, great,
great,
great.
With,
at this
I
point,
mean, you know,
with what? What?
So I guess I'm still a student of the 0 to 5, 5 being a 10.
Nope.
Perfection.
Nope. Bad, meh, good, great.
It's a great game.
You gotta
really
use my scale. There we go.
Great.
All right, excellent. Yeah. No, I really
big
like that scale.
G, but not the middle G, the big G.
Yeah. I think there's lots of great scales. I actually think IGN's 100-point scale is very effective.
It does. I think a lot of people misunderstand it because for some reason, even though we say something is good, that means it's garbage, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Like that's been my there's a lot of things interacting with some folk that I'm just blown away by. The fact that when we say this game is good, we empirically say this game is good. And people are like, that's a garbage score. That's garbage.
Yeah.
You're calling that game trash.
You and I both reviewed games for IGN. You still do.
Mm-hmm.
I've given a lot of sevens.
Yeah, me too.
I always have this little shriek of terror inside when I give a 7. Because I know I'm going to get more crap for 7 than anything else. I can give a 5 and get less crap than a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. You too?
I mean, look, the games that I give 5s deserve their 5s.
Oh, no, everything deserves the score I give it, in my opinion. That's why I gave it the score. But I sit there and I think, before I hit that submit button, it's like, I am going to take so much crap for this.
You know, anything then, between 7.3 and an 8 is, I'm just like, anxiety. I'm right.
Yeah. No, you got it. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I punched your table. Don't be sorry.
For my review in progress, I haven't talked a lot about my playthrough. That's going to come when we do the final review, the spoiler cast.
Nice. That. You give me a holler when that happens. I'll be sure to be here.
Yeah, I'd like that very much. You should be here for that. But right now, great. I love this game. It is rapidly climbing the pantheon of my favorite things I've played in the 21st century. Yeah. This game was made for me. It's like they read my mind.
There have been so many moments where I've been playing this game, and I've been so sad that I've been too fucking busy to call you.
Oh yeah, I know.
Because there have been so many fucking moments where I've been going through, and I'd see something happen, or I'd see like something carved into a tree, or like this really bizarre Easter egg. Like,
yeah.
Did you find the meteor?
No.
There we go. Okay. So that's the thing.
I haven't done a lot of. I haven't been doing like guide searching.
No. All, I don't expect you to be guide searching, but like I figure on your adventurous travels and the hundreds of hours that you've sunk into this game, you might have run into this particular thing. Well, I won't say too much because I want you to find it. But there is a meteor that you can find in the world.
That's awesome.
And when I found it, I just sat there for a second. I was like, "Fuck, Jared."
Oh, I can't wait to find it. Yay!
I'm so excited for you to find it. I want you to text me when you do.
I hope it brings in the Maniac Mansion Meteor Police. That would make me happy.
That'd be really good.
That would be great. I love the Meteor Police. I've thought about calling a band the Meteor Police, but I'd have to learn to play an instrument. So
I believe in you. Play the keytar.
The keytar. I'd be a terrible keytar player. Ladies and gentlemen, so that's that segment. Let's read some letters. It's time for mail. All right. Mail call. Pony Express. Here we go.
You're gonna read these in your best Arthur voice.
Oh, I don't have an Arthur. Do you want to read them in the Arthur voice?
No, I want you to read them in the Arthur voice.
I don't have
an
Arthur voice. No, I'm no all way. Right, it'd be like Wallace Shawn doing Arthur. Like that.
Oh,
can't,
I would
no,
love that.
That's
that
not gonna
so
happen.
Good.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wallace Shawn as Arthur
that's
Morgan.
That's right. Yeah, inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
That's really good. You're really good at Arthur.
Here's the thing. Not only do I like Arthur as a character for in terms of like rock star protagonists and general protagonists, but like I also just like really love the performance.
Oh yeah,
Roger Clark, I think is the guy's name that plays him, and
his name is Lewis N. Clark.
No, it's not. It's definitely
Lewis
not
N. Clark.
That.
Yeah, that's his name.
No, I believe his name is Roger Clark, and I just want to give this shout out to him really quickly because he does such a good job of. Like, I have moments where, like, I'll antagonize someone, and then I'll defuse it and be super nice to them. And I'll transition from complete fucking sociopath to the nicest guy in the world. And he does it with such aplomb.
Oh, like, aplomb, you say?
He does, aplomb. Like, the natural nature in which... That's a stupid combination of words right there. I'm very tired. I'm sorry.
It's all right. The natural nature's good. Also
but the natural transition in the timbre of his voice and the way that he speaks, going from good to bad and bad to good, is really impressive.
Yeah?
Yeah. I used to be an actor. I used to do voice acting and VO work. Like, I know how fucking difficult that is to, like, get that sort of turn just here without the rest of it.
No, I feel like I could be in a room with 100 real people and Arthur's voice I would hear in the that would be the voice that stood out.
So anyways, another point in my review, great job you, Mr. Clark.
I am writing to you today to discuss an event that echoes the sentiment of Mike Mahardy from episode 28.
Ooh.
In that episode, Mahardy talks about coming across an abandoned carriage in his playthrough and nothing happening, even though he expected it to. Mm-hmm. He elaborated saying the fact that nothing happened made the event more impactful for him. I had a similar event happen to me, and I think this probably happened to you and I both. He says me in this. While riding around near Rhodes, and I had this happen in a different place, I heard the calling of a man who sounded distressed. I followed my ears until I found the source of the noise, which was a man well-dressed but a bit red in the face, probably from one too many at the local saloon. Mm-hmm. He seemed he'd lost his friend, and he was calling out his name in hopes of finding him.
Kevin!
Now, all my years of gaming conditioned me to expect that whenever a person needs something, it is the player's job to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked over to the man and interacted with him. By the way, for me, it was Gavin. Was it Kevin for you?
Gavin.
It was Gavin for me. Okay, it's Gavin.
I'm sorry. I meant to say Gavin, wasn't clear. Gavin! Where are you, Gavin? I'm looking for my friend.
What happened was a very awkward conversation where Arthur asked the man what was wrong. The man proceeded to say, I've lost my friend. Do you know where he is? And Arthur replies saying, I'm afraid I don't. And there's another long pause. And the man says, okay, see you, and walks off and resumes his cries for his lost friend. I never played a game in which someone presents me with a problem, but it's not my job to solve it. I was so puzzled by this reaction, I proceeded to follow the man as he continued his cries for his lost friend. As I walked, I kept tapping the left trigger, hoping the game would give me a command to call out as well so I could help the poor man. The option never came. After a few minutes of walking, I gave up my search and resumed my travels. The fact that I could not help this man is what made this moment so special to me. Rockstar did not have to include this interaction, but the fact that they went through the trouble of setting up an essentially unsolvable side quest only further cements the feeling the world in Red Dead Redemption continues on with or without you. Maybe if I continued following that man, I would have seen him find his friend eventually, or maybe would have never been destined to find him, and maybe he's still wandering around, looking and calling out. Thanks for reading. That's from Steven.
Thanks, Steven. What do you think? And thanks for reading, Jared.
No problem.
Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze.
I thought you were about to do something really dramatic. Like,
no.
You put your hand up and it's like,
no, I'm sorry.
I thought you were about to be like, Gavin!
Gavin! Has anyone seen an Englishman?
Gavin!
So I have not found Gavin either, and I have fucking looked for him. I don't. This is a thing where I've yet to find. I've been looking for him. I don't know if you can actually find Gavin or not.
I like the idea that you can't find Gavin.
That in my game,
yeah,
a lot of time has passed.
Yeah,
and I know he's still looking for Gavin.
He's still looking for
Gavin
in other
places.
What? I didn't know that.
So that's as much as I'll say without getting into spoiler territory. I don't know if I can ever find Gavin, but I know his search for Gavin continues.
Continues on. He found him in Rhodes. I ran into him in Saint-Denis. So.
Okay, yeah. I found him first in Rhodes.
Okay. That's not where I first found him. I found him in
Rhodes.
Yeah, wow.
But there are those moments for me where it's that notion of this isn't my problem.
Yeah.
Or worse yet, you can't do anything for these people.
Hi, Jared. I love the podcast. I wanted to share a funny story with you. Last night, I happened to accept an invitation from a member of camp to go fishing. During the trip, the character pointed out a legendary fish. So after he left, I decided to stick around and try to catch the beast.
Oh,
I spent about half an hour fishing with no luck.
Aww.
At that point, I decided to move on to something else. But then I remembered you mentioning you could shoot fish. And I wanted to give it a shot, pun intended. I saw a largish fish that seemed to be sitting in one spot, so I pulled out my pistol and I popped it, walked in and picked it up, and lo and behold, it was the legendary fish I was trying to catch.
That's awesome.
Keep on doing what you're doing, Paul M.
Great job.
So Andrew
come
was
back and write wikis for us.
Yeah, I figured out you could shoot fish a while ago.
Yeah.
And I don't fish anymore. I just shoot fish.
You just shoot fish.
What I haven't tried yet that Andrew suggested is dynamite.
I have tried dynamite.
Does it work? Can dynamite fish?
It definitely kills fish.
Okay.
I don't think you can actually collect them.
They don't float to the surface to get grabbed? Or?
No, there's an explosion, there's a bunch of red clouds in the water, and then you lose honor points. You actively... Killing fish with dynamite is actively a dishonorable choice.
That's awesome.
It's very... It kind of made me mad at first, because I was just like, look, man, I'm just trying to fish smart. I just want to fish
the most
fish.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, because I wasn't looking for legendary fish. I just wanted to feed the camp.
Yeah, and they're like, nope, no dynamite in your fish.
Yeah.
Dishonorable fishing. Hank Hill would be disappointed. You know, you got to go with pure worm.
Hank Hill would be disappointed in me for a lot of things. Dynamiting fish probably being the least of his worries.
Sidebar, have you seen that King of the Hill's back on Hulu?
I have not. That's also really good to know.
13 seasons of King of the Hill available on Hulu. It was on streaming years and years ago somewhere else. It's been gone, just came back. I was sick yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now 20 episodes into King
Jesus
of the Hill.
Jesus Christ, Jared.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm
what
glad.
A show.
King of the Hill was never a real big draw for me.
I recommend you return to it.
Oh, I mean, what I've seen of it in the last 10 years, I've loved.
Yeah.
But when it was actively airing when I was a kid, it was always like before The Simpsons. So I was like, I don't give a shit about this. It's before The Simpsons.
Well, actually, it came out after The Simpsons.
No, no, it started after The Simpsons.
Yeah,
but like when it was airing on TV.
Oh, I get it.
King of the Hill was 7:30, Simpsons was 8
right.
o'clock.
I think you will find it prophetic.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hate prophetic
TV.
Prophetic.
Okay. It's rather profound.
I mean, look, like I said, whatever I've seen of it, I've really liked. I also really like Mike Judge's other stuff.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm going to give it a go.
Mike Judge is amazing.
Eventually.
Yeah, watch King of the Hill. Watch Mike Judge stuff in general.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew a real world Boomhauer. I guess we all did.
We all have at least one of them in our pocket. Mine was a cranberry man.
Oh, okay. A cranberry man.
Well, I'm from Massachusetts, so
oh,
we don't
okay.
we don't
that
have
sense.
Like We have swamps, but they're called bogs, and they're usually full of cranberries, and people farm on them for said cranberries.
Okay. Yeah.
But they all still have the same hick accent, which is great.
The more you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we had an incomprehensible guy that hung out at the gas station with a collection of other dudes that sat outside the gas station and drank beer or stood outside the gas station.
Good.
Every day.
Perfect.
And I mean, it was when I first watched King of the Hill, I hurt myself laughing. So it's like that guy is standing 300 yards up the road from my house right now.
I'm sure he is.
Like,
he still is to this day.
He might be. I don't know. Some of those guys, they scattered to the wind. It's been a long time. Like Frosty. Frosty's gone. Frosty Road.
What?
So there was this biker gang that hung out.
I thought you were talking about the snowman
second. There was this biker gang that hung out in the farm country I lived in. And there was the same gas station, which was at a rural crossroads.
Yeah.
A lot of them would hang out there. Really nice guys. But one of them was a biker named Frosty, who apparently had gotten that name by riding his Harley naked in the snow one day on a bed or something. And yeah. And he had this kind of like white beard and white hair. But after a few weeks, I'd see the biker guys, and I hadn't seen Frosty in forever.
Oh, no.
And so I went to one of the biker guys I knew, and I was like, have y'all seen Frosty? And they all got real quiet.
Oh.
And one of them looked at me, and he just said, Frosty Road. R-O-D-E. Frosty Road. And I don't know if he meant Frosty got on his bike and rode away and never came back.
I think he did, but into that great big sunset.
I don't know. I'll never know. I've often wondered, Frosty, if you're out there, I'd love to know.
Fucking, let's track down goddamn Frosty.
Yeah, and Gavin. Frosty and Gavin, the two men we're searching
for the rest of time.
Indeed. All right, last little bit. The Red Dead Redemption drinking game, my friend.
Explain.
Here's how this works. Last week, Andrew and
I've been bad. I haven't
began
been
this.
Red Dead.
Don't worry about it. It's not like I need those subs. I really need those subs, please. Red Dead Redemption drinking game.
Okay.
Very simple premise. Whenever something happens that happens with some frequency and notability in Red Dead Redemption, you take a shot. Don't do this before driving. Don't do this if you're underage. Don't do this if you have no tolerance for alcohol. Don't do this if it's going to place you in a position where you can impede yourself in your workplace or place yourself in physical danger. Do not drink enough to make yourself sick at all, etc. But if you're around friends in a safe place having a good time and you want to play Red Dead Redemption drinking game, you can do things like, say take a shot every time Arthur shatters a door as he bursts through it, or take a shot every time you accidentally shoot someone in town, or take a shot every time you squash a bunny rabbit.
Chipmunks recently for me.
Chipmunks, there we go. Things like that. We've been adding to the list, so I'd like to know some of yours.
Okay. I mean, not accidentally shoot, but accidentally run over with my horse.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, that's definitely one for me, absolutely. Every time I walk into a shop and the shopkeeper is not pleased to see me.
Okay. Oh, really? Every time it's like
they're mad at me specifically. Not that they're having a bad day, but they're pissed at me.
You get that comment?
I've done something.
You take a shot. I like that. Yeah. That's good. That's a good one.
Who let the imbecile out of the asylum? I like that one a lot. Anytime Arthur says that one, I feel like I hear that one enough that if I like play for like 3 or 4 hours, I'll have a good buzz going by the end of the night.
I like that.
That
one's really good.
Anytime I'm not paying attention and my horse crashes into a rock.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Just like, all right, I think that was one of ours. Was
good. I would hope so. What? Kidnapped lady.
Oh, there you go. Anytime you come across kidnapped lady.
There are a few random events that will, like, you'll see the snakebite guy a couple of times, for example. I haven't seen him a third time, but I've seen him twice.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the third time you encounter Snakebite Guy, he just turns into a snake.
I was going to say, I think I would hope that if I saw him a third time, he was just covered in snakes. Like, he comes out of the wood, he's got one on him.
Snakes hanging off.
Like, they're actively, like, revenging him for surviving so long. Like, we've tried to kill you so many times. You will die today, old man.
That'd be amazing. I like Snakebite Guy.
I like Snakebite Guy, too. Anytime I accidentally scare off the trapper or he is frightened by wolves.
That's good.
He is run off by other animals.
I like that.
I think that's my favorite experience sometimes is like when I'm riding up to the trapper's place and I see him being attacked by wolves or bears, animals mm-hmm. that he's supposed to be like, I'll kill that motherfucker anytime I can. And like, he's like, oh shit, and runs away. So anytime that happens,
I like that.
Shot. Now, are there levels to
no,
this?
No, we don't have levels like... yet. I'm thinking about doing like a bingo card of these eventually.
Okay. Like, well, because my concern was like, you know, because typically drinking games have levels. So it's yeah. like for really basic stuff, like if Arthur says like, hey there, mister, to somebody random.
Okay,
like,
that which is great. What's something Arthur says well, a lot? No,
that's oh, what I'm saying. Like yeah. that's like, hey there, mister, is like yeah. his kind of default like hello.
Right.
So like, or like, hey there, mister, hi, mister, howdy, partner. Any of like the main three greetings,
yeah,
like that's like a sip of beer,
yeah.
You know, anytime you know you antagonize someone, he does like the imbecile line, for example, or the lunatic line, whichever it is. You know, that would be like a yeah. couple of sips or like a full pull.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you find like a lady trapped under a horse, that would be like a full beer.
Okay,
or
so you got a
waterfall.
So you want a chart? Like
I want a hierarchy.
Your drinking games are definitely more complicated than my drinking games.
Yes,
like
yes,
you, okay, these are. You're gonna have to teach me the ways.
So
of
like
games.
Anytime you if you go back to a town and you recognize that a person of importance, so a yeah. shopkeeper or a sheriff or a notable townsperson, is dead and has been replaced because of your actions, that's you take a shot instead of drink beer.
Okay. So we need a complicated
system. Did you murder the mayor of Strawberry?
No, I have not killed him.
Have you seen him giving his bullshit speeches, though?
Yes.
I shot him so
dead.
You
shot him while giving a speech?
He was just like, if you're going to do something rude, be nice. I tell you, be nice. And I immediately shot him in the face.
Please tell me you have footage of this.
I don't.
Oh, that's no, that's beautiful. It has been I miss you. It has been a joy having you.
This has been really fun.
Yeah, you've been too busy doing hard work, making good things for good people.
Likewise.
It's fun stuff. There's a lot going on this month. We have Pockets Full of Soup comes back this month.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, we're doing that as an audio show, so that'll awesome. Allow me to produce it more regularly than I have. I'm very happy. We'd love that too.
Cool.
That'd make me happy. I think we'll have to
we
do
can
that.
Just keep telling more cowboy stories.
But also at the end of the month, I'm piloting a quiz game show. I think we talked
yeah,
about
we
that
did,
before.
Yeah, we did. You did tell me about this. Yeah.
Are you ready? So keep your eyes out for details on how to find that. That'll
super
be coming up here very,
that.
Very soon. I think it'll be fun. Yeah. I got buzzers in the mail the other day. That was
what?
Fun. Very exciting.
Oh, I'm going to go play
buzzers.
With those right now.
Okay, I'm going to play with those. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast. If you're watching, listening at all, etc., subscription on podcast services really helps us. Subscription on YouTube really helps us. I know everyone asks you for that. I cannot overemphasize how much better it makes my life when you subscribe. It's
great.
It is my life's blood, indeed. Aww. So, yeah, and look forward to a lot of coverage of that beta that we're getting closer to.
Ooh,
John Ryan, you do
close.
All kinds of fun things. You have fun with this game?
I'm having a lot of fun with this game. Yeah, we're creating a bunch of really cool stuff over at IGN.com. I'm having a great deal of fun with it as well. My life does not just mean it's all Red Dead work. It's also a lot of Red Dead play.
My final question for you today, what are you playing after Red Dead?
There's an after Red Dead?
Yeah, what are you going to play next? I stepped away for a little bit this week to play a little bit of SNK 40th Anniversary Edition.
I mean, what I would like to do is catch up on all my Game of the Year games that I haven't had a chance to play yet.
Yeah.
Realistically, it's going to be Just Cause 4.
And we were talking on Kind of Funny Gamescast today about how we'd really like to see like Just Cause 4 and Crackdown 1 have a baby. Like a cooperative Just Cause multiplayer.
That'd be so good.
Yeah, that's we want that to be like that's
I mean,
the breakout Just
ostensibly,
Cause.
That was what Crackdown 3 would be, but that game's never coming.
Hey, Terry Crews. We got Terry Crews.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Crackdown 3 is going to come out. I've lost interest.
I have this dream. This isn't going to happen, but I have this dream. I think I tweeted about this few minutes ago. It's like, what if Crackdown 3 came out and it was, like, awesome?
I hope it is.
Wouldn't
I
that be
really
amazing?
Hope it is. Like, that. I wish that for every single game that launched.
Of course, but you don't get a good feeling when it's been this
I don't.
Long.
I don't. I really, truly don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching, and until next time, happy trails.